11th. John perceives that this golden chalice is filled with, quote, the filthiness of her abominations, unquote, reflecting the Bible's view of the sacrifice of the Mass at the very heart of Roman Catholicism. Such was the conviction of hundreds of thousands of Christians throughout history who were burned at the stake for refusing to participate in the Mass, which they earnestly believed was the greatest abomination conceivable. Why? Because it claims to be the literal sacrificial offering again and again of the body and blood of Christ, whereas the Bible clearly says that Christ's sacrifice upon the cross was completed once and for all, never to be repeated again. Catholicism claims that when at the Last Supper Christ said, quote, "This is my body, this is my blood," he had to be taken literally. The bread and wine he held in his hands had with those words become his literal body and blood. And when the priest speaks those words today, the bread and wine become again Christ's literal body and blood to be sacrificed endlessly on Catholic altars as truly as Christ was sacrificed on the cross. No one takes it literally when Christ said, "I'm the door, I'm the light of the world, I'm the good shepherd," or when he called his disciples sheep. Christ was obviously speaking figuratively when he referred to bread and wine as his body and blood. There's no way that the bread could literally be his body when he was sitting there in his physical body holding the bread. Much less can millions of tiny wafers each be simultaneously Christ's literal body and blood, soul, personality, divinity, whole and entire, as Catholicism claims. That is not literalism, but mysticism, the very mystery emblazoned on the woman's forehead. Compounding the error, Vatican II declares, quote, "Our Savior at the Last Supper instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood," unquote. The Council of Trent agrees that Christ at the Last Supper, quote, "offered up to God the Father his own body and blood under the form of bread and wine," unquote. If so, then he was sacrificed for the sins of the world at the Last Supper before he went to the cross. Indeed, he wouldn't have to go to the cross at all if Catholic priests, as they claim, can truly turn bread and wine into the literal body and blood of Christ and offer it as a propitiatory sacrifice on their altars. This is the great mystery at the heart of Catholicism. The Pocket Catholic Dictionary states, quote, "The Mass is a truly propitiatory sacrifice by which the Lord is appeased. He grants grace. He pardons wrongdoings and sins," unquote. The Council of Trent declared, quote, "Regarding the great mystery of the Eucharist, it is the true and only sacrifice," unquote. Then the cross is unnecessary. Of course, Catholic apologists would say that the cross is essential. Yet in Catholicism, Christ's sacrifice upon the cross is only effective in its repetition in the Mass, and then only partially each time the Mass is repeated. It takes many repetitions of the Mass to take a soul to heaven. Christ won for the world all the graces it needs for salvation and sanctification, but these blessings are conferred gradually and continually since Calvary, mainly through the Mass. The priest is indispensable, since he alone, by his powers, can change the elements of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. The more often the sacrifice is offered, the more benefit is conferred, unquote. In other words, Christ's sacrifice is not yet complete, but is still in process through the Mass. Indeed, Vatican II, page 1, says, quote, "For it is the liturgy through which, especially in the divine sacrifice of the Eucharist, the work of our redemption is accomplished," unquote. Hebrews 9:12 assures us that Christ obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14 both state, "In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Yet Vatican II insists, quote, "For in the sacrifice of the Mass, our Lord is immolated." He's still suffering. "The Mass is a sacrifice in which the sacrifice of the cross is perpetuated," unquote. The Pocket Catholic Dictionary explains that in the Mass, Christ, quote, "offers himself as really as he did on Calvary," unquote. Then what did Christ mean when he cried in triumph, "It is finished"? Indeed, that golden cup is full of abominations, as Revelation 17 foretold. Playing a semantic game, Catholicism suggests that Christ isn't really being sacrificed over and over, but his sacrifice on the cross is being represented or made present. Such a statement is meaningless. An event that was completed in the past can't be made present. Moreover, if the past event accomplished its purpose, then there's no reason for wanting to perpetuate it in the present, even if that could be done. For example, If a benefactor pays a creditor the debt someone owes, the debt is gone forever. It would be meaningless to speak of representing or reenacting or perpetuating the payment in the present. One could well remember with gratitude the payment that was made, but no reenactment would have any virtue, since there no longer remains any debt to be paid. Yet the new catechism of the Catholic Church says, quote, as sacrifice, the Eucharist is also offered in reparation for the sins of the living and the dead, and to obtain spiritual or temporal benefits from God. That's like trying to pay more installments on a debt that's been paid in full. Clearly, the Mass is a denial of the sufficiency of the payment Christ made for sin upon the cross. At the heart of this error, the Catholic priesthood claims to perform the miracle of transubstantiation, turning bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, quote, under the appearance of remaining bread and wine, unquote. This mystery, they call it, is supposed to be a great miracle, even though the wafer and wine remain unchanged in physical qualities. There's no such miracle in the Bible. Did Christ ever give a blind man his sight under the appearance of the man remaining blind? Did he ever raise a dead man to life under the appearance of the man remaining dead? Under those circumstances, it wouldn't be unbelief but common sense to deny that the alleged miracle had occurred at all. Suppose the water turned to wine by Christ at the wedding at Cana had been this kind of miracle. The servants pour it out to the governor of the feast, and he exclaims, I asked for wine. This is water. The servants insist, sir, it is wine. Angrily, the governor shouts, it looks like water, tastes like water, it is water. You need faith, the servants insist. This is a miracle. Christ turned water into wine, but under the appearance of remaining water. That's not a miracle, that's a fraud, would be the governor's response, and he would be right. And so it is with transubstantiation. The golden cup is full of abominations.